The Hayes Advantage with Kathleen Hayes and Vonnie Quinn. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
My next guest says Russian President Putin's next step will be a full-scale invasion and occupation of Crimea unless the response from the West is effective. Joining me now on the Ring Central phone line is Leon Aron. He's President Scholar and Director of Russian Studies at the American Enterprise Institute. Good morning, and thanks for joining me.
Good morning. It's a pleasure.
So much to talk about, but let's start by your very interesting thesis in the piece you posted that Putin, that the first part of it, that if the response from the West isn't effective, he's ready to go further into Ukraine.
Well, I wanted to correct it on two scores. One, you know, there's good news and bad news. The relatively good news is that he is holding off, at least for now, with incursions in other parts of Ukraine. Because that would involve actually, you know, crossing the border, not just of the Crimea, but of Ukraine itself. The bad news is that what I predicted as the occupation and, you know, annexation even of Ukraine, unfortunately, looks to be on track. As you know, the Crimean Rump Parliament has just passed a resolution having a referendum. So-called referendum. I'm calling it so-called because clearly it's not going to be under the conditions that would be judged free and fair, especially for the Ukrainian speakers on the peninsula. To have a referendum on whether to actually secede and join Russia, I thought that Putin would do an intermediate step, something like Crimea voting for independence, like you remember Abkhazia and South Ossetia, which Russia took away from Georgia, and then sort of leave it at that. But he kind of leapfrogged that step, escalated it more.
Is he doing this because he's looking at the response so far and saying, aha, just as I thought, the West is not going to respond assertively, that my path is pretty much clear because there's so many forces on the other side saying, you know, let it be. We certainly can't take military action, and some are even concerned about things like trade sanction because they'd hurt business.
Well, you know, he is constantly evaluating one thing against the other, and they are the domestic standing, his sense of regaining some initiative, recovering the huge political loss, self-inflicted, I might add, when he framed the Ukrainian revolution as the contest between Russia and the West, and once the revolution became victorious, there was no backing down. He had to do something to regain his domestic political standing. Remember, that regime does not have democratic legitimacy. By every public opinion poll, it's seen by people as corrupt, morally bankrupt, thieving, incompetent, whatnot. The only thing going for that regime is Putin's personal popularity, and that is largely tied to how he succeeds on the world stage, because the economy is not doing very well. So Putin, I think, looks at the domestic situation to see how far he has to go in order to show that, no, he's not defeated, no, he regained initiative, no, don't mess with me, I'm punishing Ukraine, but how much punishment is enough? And that is decided based on his reading of what is likely to be the response from the West. Well, I must tell you, maybe I started with a very low threshold, but so far I think the response has been better than I thought. I mean, there seem to be in the works a targeting of individuals responsible for the incursion into Crimea, the elites around Putin, and remember, that was the last straw that broke the back of Yanukovych's regime when they started targeting individual elites, as they said, with blood on their hands. That's when they started leaving the regime in droves, and it fell. So will Putin be, you know, testing this proposition? I don't know. Another issue, which seems largely symbolic to us, but it's not symbolic to Putin. The membership in the G8. Russia was very proud of hosting the G8 summit. Putin wanted to redouble his Olympics triumph, and he actually put it in Sochi. Clearly, nobody's coming. That is definitely off the table. The real issue is whether there'll be moves to exclude Russia, expel it from the G8. And that is going to have domestic political repercussions for Putin as well.
You know, Leon, you were just saying in the first part of this conversation that for Vladimir Putin, exclusion from the G8 would be very, very important. Your view seems to be that the kinds of responses that are being undertaken already are going to have an impact on Putin and prevent him from pushing further to out and out just taking over Crimea?
Well, again, this will all depend on Putin's calculations, domestic political calculations, when to decide when enough is enough, when balanced against the likely responses.
So now, lay that out for our listeners again, that what you see, because this is very interesting. I don't know if people understand what you're arguing, that this is a lot of what he's doing is for domestic consumption.
Most of it, actually. The whole excursion into Crimea, if you call it this way, was to show his constituents inside Russia that he can regain the initiative. When I was in Moscow several weeks ago, a top Russian pollster and political sociologist said to me, you know, foreign policy is the only thing that works. What he meant is that given the state of the economy, given the perceived moral bankruptcy of the regime, given the fact that 47% of Russians already don't want Putin to regain presidency in 2018, foreign policy successes, Olympics, you know, Syria, Iran, are a boost. I mean, they're vital to Putin's popularity, which in turn is the only thing that's going for that regime. So yes, I mean, there was some pride involved. Yes, there was the idea of punishing Ukraine. But I think it all ultimately fits into Putin's desire to project this image of an effective, decisive leader who does not take defeat lying down.
But what is your sense of how the Russian population is reacting? There's a big story today, of course, about a couple of Washington-based anchors, reporters for RT, Russian television, you know, the network partially funded by the government, saying they can't support a network, for example, I'm paraphrasing a quote, that whitewashes the actions of Putin. The RT then responds, oh, come on, the idea is lots of networks have a political viewpoint, right? And they support the powers that be. Within Russia, how is this playing? With the person who's going to be actually voting when it comes down to it?
Well, voting is, yes, I mean, you know, with all kinds of caveats. But yes, you know, we are a little bit ahead of ourselves with respect to polling. No polls yet from Levada Center, which is the most respected independent center in Russia, yet on the reaction to Ukraine. I'm sure they'll become, to Crimea. They'll be coming down very soon. But we already have a couple of things that are, I thought was you know, should provide Putin with a bit of a backstop there. First of all, only 45% of Russians bought the core propaganda line, actually the core justification for Putin to do what he's done, namely that the Ukrainian revolution, Ukrainian protests were designed by the West and were aimed against Russia. You know, 45%. It's not that bad, but given the deafening propaganda and given the fact that TV is completely in the hands of the government, that's hardly, you know, an overwhelming endorsement. And even more so, 73% in a very recent poll said that Russia should stay out of the domestic Ukrainian affairs. So unless this is retooled, and he did try to retool it. In other words, it's not about Ukraine anymore. It's about defending our compatriots, as he said in that request to the upper house of the parliament when he requested the possibility of introducing regular troops. He tried to, and we'll see how much traction that propaganda story gets. But I can't say that, you know, It's that overwhelming. Remember, in eastern Ukraine, yes, we have demonstrations, but they look to me like rent-a-mob. I mean, there are 2,000 in Donetsk. My goodness, I mean, this is the area which has million Russian speakers, millions. Same in Lugansk, same in Dnipropetrovsk, you know, all those places that have very solid Russian-speaking majorities. We don't see anything at all mm-hmm. approaching what was happening in Kyiv. So this is, you know, I mean, I'm sure he is looking at all of this, and that may actually pull him back. One other thing that I just wanted to clarify, you know, Putin is very, I mean, Russia is still very much in the G8. What I gave you is a kind of, you know, projection of what might happen and what might influence him by increasing the costs of his adventure.
Mm-hmm. Final question here. Is Putin, is this move that he made against Crimea a danger to anyone, any countries outside of the former Soviet Union? Is it, there are many in this country who say, look, it's their problem. We can't change it. Keep the money at home, keep the troops at home. Is there any threat that we should be aware of?
Well, the troops, you know, the military option is off the table. The troops will be staying at home. Nobody should worry about the troops. I hope the money will largely come from Europe and also the IMF and the World Bank. But we have an enormous hedge there. Virtually all the post-Soviet countries, you know, both post-Soviet as republics, you know, the Baltics, Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia, and post-Soviet as the Warsaw Pact, post-Soviet, you know, Poland, Hungary, Czech Republic, they're members of NATO. And that is a hedge. I mean, that, for Putin to, you know, there's a specific article in the NATO charter.
Quickly, please.
That provides for military assistance to the countries, to the members under assault. So that's a hedge. I don't think we should worry about that too much.
Leon Aaron, thank you so much for joining me from the American Enterprise Institute.
The Hayes Advantage, weekdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Boston on 1200 a.m. and 94.5 FM HD2, or on Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 119. Copyright 2014, Bloomberg LP.